Battle of Chattanooga, Part 1. The Chattanooga campaign started in October of 1863 and lasted through November the 25th, 1863. And the battle for Chattanooga is really determined by the Cracker Line operations. Now, that's the operations from October the 26th until October the 30th of 1863, in which General Grant was able to make certain movements, particularly the construction of the pontoon bridge, that allowed Union forces to finally get rations and reinforcements into the town of Chattanooga and save General Rosecrans' army from both starvation and defeat. Plus, Confederate General Bragg, at this particular time, once he realizes that he's missed his chance to retake Chattanooga, he then decides, well, I'm going to divide my forces here. He's going to send his two best commanders. He's going to send his loner general, General Longstreet, and I mean that he's, you know, loaned to Bragg from the Army of Northern Virginia. They're going to send him and Cavalry Commander General Wheeler, another successful Confederate commander. They're going to head north to attack the Union General Burnside at Knoxville in hopes of drawing off troops from the Chattanooga area. Well, now we're going to have a whole variety of command changes on both sides. Union General Grant, upon seeing the demoralized state of the Union troops in Chattanooga, removes General Rosecrans and replaces him with the Rock of Chickamauga, General Thomas, and that really boosts morale. On the other hand, President of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, is in the area trying to fix the mess with General Bragg. Instead of firing Bragg, he removes a whole variety of competent commanders to other regions, simply to keep Bragg in command. And of course, the problem is, Bragg has great plans. If you would just allow him to draw the plans and then go away, they could have been very successful, but no one is carrying out his orders. They don't trust him. His commanders are concerned about him. Longstreet doesn't like him either, but, Longstreet's kind of picky. But, you don't want these guys just disappearing. You pull Bragg out, and you put somebody else in command. Put Longstreet in command if you don't have any other choice, at least temporarily. And maybe things are a little better. He's in a very strong defensive position. But he's had several opportunities to be successful in the Chickamauga campaign, prior to the Chickamauga campaign, and now in this situation where, they're unable to keep the Union from getting reinforcements. Now, the Battle of Chattanooga really has three parts. Usually, they're all stuck together. And so I'm going to separate them in the three parts. There's the November the 23rd, 1863 part. That's called the Battle of Orchard Knob or of Indian Hill. Then on November the 24th, 1863, you have the Battle Above the Clouds, which is the fight for Lookout Mountain. And then on November the 25th of 1863, you have the Battle of Missionary Ridge. And so they're all lumped together. And yeah, sometimes there's not a lot to say about the Battle of Orchard Knob and some of the others, and they do go pretty quickly, but it's a little easier to separate them. Now the troops, Union forces, the troop strength for the Battle of Chattanooga, all three phases, is 56,349. Bragg has 64,165. Plus, he sent all these troops off to Knoxville, which, had they been in place, why just sit there on top? Why not attack? The Confederate forces indeed do hold very formidable positions. If you've ever been to Lookout Mountain at Chattanooga, Tennessee, how in the world do you lose this position? And the Missionary Ridge position is very formidable as well. So, they both tower over the city. And they're just incredible positions. Now, the Battle of Orchard Knob, or Indian Hill, General Grant received intelligence that General Bragg had a weakened position, or was weakening his position, on Missionary Ridge by sending Longstreet and Wheeler to Knoxville. But that wasn't all that Confederate General Bragg had done. He had also ordered two more divisions, General Buckner's and General Claiborne's, who, by the way, was a very good general, but a very big Bragg hater. He had ordered them to join Longstreet as well. So while General Grant is adding forces, such as General Sherman, General Bragg is sending thousands of troops away to Knoxville. And they won't have the proper equipment to besiege the place in the first place. Well, General Thomas conducted reconnaissance to check and see if Confederate troops were withdrawing. At 2 in the afternoon, Union Generals Wood and Union General Sheridan attacked and drove the Confederate outposts from a low ridge about halfway between the Union position in Chattanooga and the Confederate position. And this area is known as Orchard Knob. Now Confederate General Bragg tries to recall the divisions, but two of the brigades out of one of the divisions were just simply too far out of reach. So he will, wise up and get at least one of the divisions back. Bragg then moves three divisions from his far left on Missionary Ridge to the far right on Missionary Ridge. Well, General Grant's plan is this. The main attack is supposed to be General Sherman with four divisions that will hit the Confederate position on the north flank, which would be the north side of Missionary Ridge. A diversionary attack in the Union center will begin once Sherman forces have kind of rolled in Bragg's flank. And then General Hooker, with one division, will also have a diversion, and he's going to hit Confederate General Bragg's forces on the south flank, basically there by Lookout Mountain and that region. Well, Sherman's men cross the Tennessee River at Brown's Ferry on a pontoon bridge and then move to the mouth of the North Chickamauga Creek. There they were joined by General Davis's division, who had other river crossing equipment. But one of Sheridan's four divisions didn't make it. As the pontoon bridge was really weak, it slowed everybody crossing it, and that left General Osterhaus's division out of Sherman's plans. So instead of just letting it sit there, they decided, let's add another division to Hooker's diversion, okay? Well, by noon on November the 23rd, the pontoon bridge over North Chickamauga Creek was finished, and by 4 p.m., Sherman's divisions had taken the north end of Missionary Ridge without really encountering anything other than Confederate outposts. Now General Sherman saw the only thing separating him from Tunnel Hill, which is where the railroad tunnel, the main line of the railroad tunnel, which would then go down to Atlanta, runs through. And by the way, if you're in Chattanooga, the local train people have a train ride which actually drives through it. It's really neat. And so you can actually go through that position. Well, the only thing between him and Tower Hill was a large, wide depression that was occupied by Confederate General Claiborne's recalled division. So Sherman decided, okay, I'm going to halt operations and I'll just dig in where I'm at. So that is the, where they are at the end of the first day. Sherman has moved into position a little slower than anticipated, with a few less troops than anticipated, but everything seems to be progressing. Now, as far as sources for this, you have the regular stuff, the Encyclopedia of the American Civil War, the Civil War Almanac, the Civil War Dictionary. There's a book called Chickamauga and Chattanooga, Battles That Doomed the Confederacy, by Bowers. Shipwreck of Their Hopes, The Battle for Chattanooga, by Cousins. And Chattanooga, A Death Grip on the Confederacy, by Roland. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, SummaHistorica.com or HistoryAccordingToBob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and thank you very much.